The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Father, we just want to thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. Father, this is about you. What you want us to know. And I pray that you move your servant out of the way, that you will have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. This is such an important lesson, Lord, that your servant does not want to rush through it. It is a major life changer for us all. So I pray, Lord, that this message will get through to us. And that it will change not only individuals, and if it changes individuals, it would change the church. And if it changes this church, it would change this community. And if it changes this community, it would change these United States. Father, we are in a time that we need to know your will. And I thank you for giving me opportunities in my life to learn how to look at that which stares us in the face. To say, what is God doing? And how we are to join in. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, John chapter 5. We read verse 17 through 20. We went through all of the latter part of chapter 5. Now we want to slow it down, come back, and put meat on the bones. But Jesus answered them, "My Father works hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever things he does, these also does the Son do in the same manner. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye shall not marvel." We established real briefly, as we was looking at these verses, that it boils down to asking the right question. You see, if I want to know about what kind of car you have, will I get the right answer if I ask you, what color is your car? We all agree that if I want the right answer, it's important that I ask the right question. So if I want to know that dress you ladies are wearing is a particular style dress, would I ask you about your pumps? They still make those, don't they? You know, your pastor want to relate.
Well, you told them what you're doing.
Not that I want to wear any. If I want to know where you're going, it's a bad question to ask you where you were yesterday. So So if you and I want to know the right answer from God, we better know what question to ask him to get the right answer. Now, years ago, that study came out. Many of the guys are doing some studies on this now. It's by Henry Blackaby. Mark, Dwight, and myself, years ago, went up to a conference in Vancouver, D.C. And there was a speaker that none of us had heard of. We had went up to hear Dave Hockin. And when we got there, Henry Blackaby was speaking. And he so impressed us with what he was speaking on that we forgot all about Dave. And when Henry finished speaking, we basically said the conference was over for us. And we came back and we pushed the book he had written and a study about experiencing God. And that has never, ever left me. It's never has allowed me not to think about the right question if I want to talk to God. And that right question is not God, what is your will for my life? That's the wrong question. The right question is, God, what is your will? Amen. And when I see his will, then I have to join in. Regardless if I like it or not. And this is what Jesus is telling us here. Because is Jesus our perfect example or not? If Jesus is our perfect example, then we need to look at how he walked with the Father, how he obeyed the Father, and then that is our perfect example. And I know some of you right now are saying, well, Pastor, can we really know what God's will is? And if we know what God's will is, how can I not obey it? Jesus says, my Father's always at work. And since my Father's always at work, verse 17, I gotta always be at work. Because if he's always at work, then he's inviting me to join in to work with him. Verse 19. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father doing. For whatever things the Father is doing, then the Son's got to do also. Can we look around as a church today? Can we look around and just see in our world, in our country, in our state, in our city, and see what God is doing? Can we look at different individuals and see what God is doing in their lives and dare not get involved? For some reason, the church today, and I don't know about you, but God does not just stay inside the four walls. And if he does not just stay inside the four walls, that means he does not want you and I just to live our Christianity inside the four walls. He wants us to join him wherever he is, whatever he's doing, how he's working, and he does not give us the opportunity or the freedom to choose how we want to work, what we want to work and be a part of, and what is our way of doing it in spite of what he's shown us to do. Now, this is what I love. He says that the Father loves the Son And he shows him all the things that he is doing. Does Jesus Christ love us? Did he die on the cross for you and I? Did he love us enough not to stay dead? Did he allow himself to be resurrected, to come back to this world to show us what new life is and what life is all about and how to live that life and what we see him doing we should do? How often do we pray, God, what is your will today? Now, there is a tremendous amount of things that comes along with God's will. And most of the time, none of them is comfortable to us. Now, I don't know about you, but the things God wants to do, how can you finance them? How much money do you have to have to finance what God wants to do? I've been on the radio a lot this week. A lot. Can I say it again? I've been on the radio what? A lot this week. Any reason you think why? Okay. Super Bowl. Yeah. Several things happened big this week. So do I look in the news? Do I look in our society? Do I look at what's going on in our state? And I say, wow, what is God doing? A guy kind of blasted me. I mean, blasted me about North Carolina and their vote. I said, well, if you know what God's will is and you join in, you don't have to worry about how much money to raise. I said, I'm sorry, but I know it's hard to believe that there are some people who won't sell their morals. See, if God was in the middle of North Carolina, they was outraged 2-1 when it came to money. If those for traditional marriage had 3 million, those who was for same-sex marriage had 6 million. If the ones in North Carolina had 6 million, the one that was for same-sex marriage had 12 million. Humanly speaking, there should be no way North Carolina should have won. But the people joined in when they saw God working. And 61% of the people, even though they was outraged 2-1, kept the definition of traditional marriage. It's not going to be based on what we do and how much money we raise here in this state. It's going to be whether or not God has had it with us. It's going to be whether or not God has had it with us. If we join in with him, it's done. Doesn't matter how much money we raise. If God wants us to have a new facility, it doesn't matter how much money we raise. It's about how we're going to join in with him. And the only way we can join in with him, we already established the will of God is for you to be obedient in giving. Why should God move if we're not obedient? My Father works, and he always works. And our job is to look around and see what he's doing and then join in. Look at verse 30 with me. Does God have a will? Oh, that was pretty weak. Does God have a will? If God has a will, then he wants you and I to know what that will is. He wants us to know what his will is more than we want to know it. Verse 30 says, I can of my own self what? How much is do nothing? I mean, how much can you accomplish if you can't do anything? I mean, it's sold out. I can do of my own self. Now, this is who's speaking? As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. Sometimes I drive me crazy. You know it? Sometimes I drive myself crazy because I just believe in God. I believe his will. I believe that he's showing me to do something, do it. I'm amazed at how many Christians say, well, you know, I just want to know the will of God. I'm just waiting to hear and see the will of God. Why are you waiting when you already know? What are you asking God to show you what you're refusing to see? You know what the will of God is, husbands? Love your wife. On this Mother's Day, the will of God for you husbands is to love your wives. So if you want to know the will of God, probably the first thing you need to look at is the Bible. That'll help a lot right there. Well, I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like going down this road. I don't feel like being righteous in this. I'm tired. I have read the whole Bible. I cannot find anywhere where God says it's all right for you not to do his will because you are tired. God is tired of you, but you're still breathing. Can I have an amen? Oh. You just don't know what I've been through. God knows. And he still hasn't made an excuse for you to get out of his will. Wait a minute. I don't know. Maybe these verses, maybe I'm reading them wrong. Think I'm reading them wrong? I seek not mine own will. Who's speaking right here now again? Jesus speaking. Okay. I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. I do. I frustrate me at times. Because I don't care what the odds are. I don't care what the impossibility is. I don't care how low it gets. I don't care what people think about us. I don't care if it's the will of God. Do it. Well, we can't afford that. I have come to the conclusion you can't afford the will of God.
Can't afford not to.
Can't afford not to. That's right. But there's a lot of Christians that think we cannot do the will of God, so they think they can't afford it. You know, the biggest problem with most of us who think we do not have to obey the will of God is because he don't kill us quick enough. If God start killing us real quick by being out of his will. See, the biggest problem is there's too much grace and mercy. So we think I could just go ahead and sin anyway because God will forgive me for it. Come on, give me, make me throw up. Literally, make me throw up with that attitude. You know what's wrong with most Christians? We'll forgive them too quick. Knowing they are out of the will of God. See, the biggest problem with God is he will forgive us. Amen? That's a big problem with God. He'll forgive us. But we forget something. Because we go against his will, there's consequences. And the first thing we try to do as Christians is try to remove the consequences from folks. And it's just a matter of time they're going to do it again. What are you talking about, Pastor? Oh, I'm glad you asked. You ever looked at John 15? Maybe you ought to today. Take a look with me in John 15. Same book we're studying. It's just going to take us a couple of years to get there. John chapter 15. Verse 5. See everyone there with me? Give me a praise the Lord or hallelujah when you get there. Hallelujah. Yeah. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Is that the will of God? You see, there's one of your pastors here at Antioch. I have a real hard time with something. And that is for someone that can tell me how much they love God and just thumb their finger up at his will. Knowing they're disobeying, but knowing that most Christians don't know how to deal with those who openly sin. And how we ought to bring them back in. Do you know that trust got to be earned? I forgive you. But you got to prove to me you can be trusted. Now, hey, you want me to give you an example? Let me give you an example. This guy has raped 10 women. Not saying I know anyone that has. Because back down south, guys used to do that in the church, used to get together and give them an old-fashioned spiritual beat down. We weren't half as loving back in the old south as we are in the northwest. But if some guy has raped 10 people, have asked for forgiveness, and we give them forgiveness, and then he wants to drive my daughter somewhere alone without proving they can be trusted. How unloving is that? Or is that being wise as serpents and tender as doves? I trust you, but I'm not going to trust you with my daughter. Now, you can call me unloving all you want. until you prove to me, which may take years. I love you just as much. I forgave you just as much. But you have no track record with me that you know what it means and what you did to God and to everybody else. How do we know the will of God? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever thought about that question? How do we know the will of God? First, I've already given you one, right? What's that? The Bible. Do you know that God's will will never contradict his word? God's will never, ever contradict his word. I have a friend and a brother right now that we got to deal with on a sin issue. I wish a million times I didn't have to. But I wish a million times he hadn't sinned. Philippians chapter 2. Got Philippians chapter 2? Give me an amen and praise the Lord. Verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Whose good pleasure is it? It's God's good pleasure. Hmm? Then why are we always trying to please ourselves? Why is our pleasure the most important? And why do we, in the middle of wanting to do our own will, in the middle of knowing what God's will is, because we know what the Bible has to say, end up doing what pleases us? Because if you're going to join God's will, one of the things it always means is you got to step out of what you like and get in that which you don't like, because that which you like usually isn't the will of God. And if it's that easy for you, it's probably not the will of God, unless you're controlled by a spirit. You're looking at me like, what are you talking about, Willis? Well, if we're going to get the right answer, we have to ask the right question. The first thing we know is that God is always at work around us. And if he's always at work around us, we have to always be at work. We also know that if we want to know what his will is, we better know what the Bible has to say. Now, we know the will of God by prayer. By praying. Now, hold on. Now, did I say, if I know the will of God, I need to pray? No, you need to obey. If I'm having a problem seeing the will of God, first thing I better do is confess my sins. Because it could be blocking what God's trying to tell me. The Bible, prayer. Do you know that God can also work through your circumstances? Bible, prayer, circumstances. Whoa. We're in some circumstances right now. Someone tell me, we're in some serious circumstances right now. We're going to lose a whole bunch of parking. Praise be to Jesus, he's going to give us temporary parking. But God is saying, hey, his will, prayer, circumstances, says, man, we better move. We can't afford it. How can you afford the will of God? If we're going to obey his will, then we're going to have to trust him. We're not going in any debt because we committed that before God. We know that is the will of God for this church. Wow. Pastor. That's hard to swallow. Blowing horns at the walls of Jericho was hard to swallow. But that was the will of God. Falling God in a pillar of fire at night, cloud during the day was hard. Who would have believed it? I want a GPS. Someone say amen. That's funny what I just said right there. Not only is it the Bible, not only is it prayer, not only the circumstances, but the church itself, when those things line up, have to agree to do the will of God. And whenever we see the will of God, it tells us that we have to adjust our life to fit the will of God. I want to ask you, don't raise your hand. Don't speak out. Don't yell out. And don't look over at your mate. But when was the last time you saw the will of God and you had to adjust everything you had planned to do? When's the last time you did that? Because you cannot adjust to the will of God without that happening. And if you haven't found yourself doing that, and if we haven't found ourselves doing that as a church, could it be we're out of the will of God? And you always know how bad it is when it boils down to this. It's what Henry calls a crisis of belief. You are scared to death about what is going to happen if we go this way with God. Anyone? I'd like to agree with that. Just flat out scare you to smithereens. Oh, Lord. You know, sometimes God just wants us to quit whining. Put the cheese away. And just be men and women of God and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Can anyone tell me how Job felt when he lost everything? Do you think he had a crisis of belief? You think Bildad, the Shuhite, little bitty dude, shoe height, you got to get it on the ground. Oh, that's a sick person right there. God does not treat anyone like that unless they're sin. His buddy stayed there for days just looking at him. Just staring at it. Sinner. Nasty sinner. Oh, your life wouldn't be this bad if you was righteous. Can't hear you. Anyone been there? Hey, we got a problem. Because if Jesus wasn't righteous, evidently he wasn't, we would never been on the cross, would he? Because with the way people are teaching the Bible today, Jesus didn't have enough faith to stay off the cross. Don't you guys wish that this sermon was a little shorter? The will of God. Ow. Man. this topic. You know why I don't like this topic? Because you got to look at it every day. What is the will of God? And God is saying, hey, you want to know? Well, not really. Then he brings some big mouth along and tells you what his will is. Then there's a sermon that goes on. Then there's friends and then the church and then there's circumstances. And then you go, man, I'm gonna study the Bible. And then it comes out in the Bible what he said. And then you boil it down to what is really the issue. And that is, I really don't care what his will is. I don't want to judge my life to fit it. It's a lot easier to do it my way. And I can justify it too. You know, I can even use scripture. I can even use scripture. I'm not sure if I'm right or wrong on this one, but judge not unless you be judged. I'm a Christian. That's why I have evolved to support sin. And you can use scripture to justify you think you know the will of God. But God's will is never to support sin. I had an article come out, several of them, besides being on the radio this week. I got a call, and they said, Pastor? Yeah, so we'd like to know your opinion. So sure. I have no shortcomings of opinions. Can I have an amen? As long as they line up with the Bible. They said, well, what is going to happen with the two people that look like is going to be running for president? See, there's a lot of Christians out there that's having a struggle. I said, you know why they have a struggle? They said, no, that's why we're calling you. I said, the reason why they have a struggle is because they don't know what the Bible says. They don't know what the Bible says. Read the Bible. You can always figure out who you can and can't vote for. It's not that hard. Well, there's so many that's having a problem with the presidential candidates, they don't know which one to vote for. I said, wow. Really? Said, yeah. I said, that's not hard. What do you mean that's not hard? It's not hard at all. What's not hard about it? Let me give it to you. This is America. We have freedom. And why should you have to vote for either if you don't like either? Now we got to vote. But there's a lot more people on the ballot outside of being the president. If you don't like neither, write in Jesus. I did the last election. But I voted for all of the congressmen, voted for all the senators and legislators, because that's where the real power is, if you want to get things done. We better get good people in those positions. You cannot get out of voting, and every one of you need to vote if you're a Christian. Every one of you need to be registered to vote if you're a Christian. Well, that's not the will of God. Really? Romans 13, you ever read that chapter? It's called Reverend Government. Reverend Government. And since we live in America, we got a choice to help Reverend Government out. Go with the Bible. So many Christians, well, you know, we need to vote for the lesser of the two evils. Why? We don't have to. There's freedom in America. And there's the will of God that overrides everything. And just to be fair, for full exposure from your pastor, it is not right just to vote for someone because they're white. And it is not right to vote for someone just because they're black. That's the will of God. Stand strong and do what's right before God so you don't lose any sleep about what's right and wrong. Can I have an amen?
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.